The ceremony was starting. The white marble palace was full of guests from different realms, from all provinces. And even my family delegates were there on the first row. All the pomp and luxury for the welcoming of birth ceremony to my firstborn. My spouse was there next to me when the high priest held her son up into the air while doing some chants. We gazed into each other and smiled. I couldn't stop thinking how hard my feet were hurting. There was something really wrong with my shoes. The left one, especially. But I had to stay there, being part of this perfect portrait of the Nubian legacy. Not that the moment wasn't important, but I started thinking the moment it all began. In fact, while trying to pay attention to what was happening, I turned my head left. And at some point, the first advisor and I looked into each other. That was the moment when all the memories rushed into my mind. It was a busy day at the Salieri Palace. Everybody was waiting a special guest. The special guest who had to be picked up down the rain station by now. I can't believe we're riding a carriage, said Stephen. A car would have been better. Don't you people have cars here? The servant assured Stephen that they had cars at the realm, but the Duchess was keen on keeping up the old traditions, and that was a traditional way to bring him as a royal guest into the Salieri Palace. The petit comité arrived. A high number of servants gathered around to help them descend and with the baggage, which was really light, only one suitcase. The Duchess and Duke received Stephen into the palace, making some sort of official introductions. Eventually, Stephen was escorted into his room. He was shown his chambers and left alone to get some rest. At the main room of the palace, a special conversation was taking place. One where the Duchess made the point on how it was very rare that an heir prince will travel all alone to a distant realm for his bride. The Duke managed to calm her down and explain her that the compromise of the two kingdoms was made before they were even born, so they should just act accordingly. Yeah, because she is not your sister. So, tonight we will have a feast. The biggest, the most lavish gala dinner. So we will get to know him and decide whether he's suitable. And then we can decide to have a wedding or not. Princess Demir was listening to her fate being decided. So she thought of the best way to escape to her manifested destiny. Perhaps on her boat by the shore. While the sumptuous feast occurred, that's when her opportunity will be the best. She called her maids and got them to make a plan. Later that evening, the smell of the most exquisite dishes scented all the citadel. Hunger made its way into Stephen's stomach. He was brought out of his chamber by the curiosity for the food and also the palace's architecture. Walking across the hall, he met a group of ladies and stopped him to ask to point him to the bride's room, as he had something important to tell her. They look into each other, deny his petition, and keep walking. The banquet was all set. The guests were arriving to the big event hall. It was full. All places were occupied. People waited, all curious to know the prince, or some others just to preserve their royalty name status. By the time food was being served, Stephen, who was sat next to the Duke, asked for the bride. Promptly, the Duchess responded. She told him the tradition there stated how the groom should be accepted by the bride's family before knowing her. As a response, he shared a royal document signed by the two deceased kings. It stated how the prince is told to show at the Bolivian palace to take the bride back to his realm. The Duchess argued back how she couldn't just allow him, as prince as he was, to take her sister away. The music faded out as the argument was escalating. Stephen stood up and said back, "I've never been treated like this before, and this won't be the first time." He left to his chamber. All the guests were told out. Later on, at the prince's room, the Duchess was telling her something while she nodded back to her. The lights were fading out until the palace got dark and silent. Small torch began to move forward along the halls. It stopped in front of Stephen's chamber. A little knock on his door was heard. Stephen opened. A female figure with a cape made her way inside. She said, "After tonight's event, the Duchess sent me to mitigate the disagreement." The lady saw a wine glass half empty on the night table, took it and had a big sip. Then, guided the prince to sit down on the bed's edge. She opened her cape. Her sculptured body was entirely shown. Stephen held down a breath and understood what that night messenger was doing there, just at the glimpse of that curvilinear, beautiful body. His masculine parts aroused in a second. A golden bikini was being worn by her. She started dancing, moving her hips slow from one side to the other, then on a circular shape, but the waist, it seemed to move independently. Her shoulders soon commenced making spirals, and the arms were gently extended, moving delightfully. She was a divine view. She made a half turn, showing her torrière and a couple of well-rounded, but so firm and juicy buttocks. Her back, with the perfect view of a well-traced waist. She was wearing a golden chain as a loose belt, with little bells that made little noises on every seductive movement. The dancer approached backwards, more and more to Stephen, to finally sit over his legs, back to face. She managed to keep moving her hips. "Undo my brassiere," said the dancer. The golden cloth holding the breast fell off to the floor. "Kiss my back and pass your tongue all across." With no hesitation, the man did as his peculiar night intruder asked. So the dancer felt lips kissing intensely and an anxious tongue all over her backstroke. Almost orgasmic sounds came out of her mouth with every friction, every caress of those mouth and tongue were taking her to the land of pleasure. Stephen's hands made their way into her breasts, smooth to the touch, soft, perfect. At this point, both their hips were moving at the same time, making friction more and more intense. All of a sudden, she stopped the movement and stood up, only to turn around and lay herself onto the same place, but face to face this time. She kissed him on the lips, whilst her hip began moving again, getting him to the point where a man's virility is as hard as steel. The lady moved a little up so her breasts were reached by Stephen's mouth, who did nothing more but lick those delightful bosoms, sucking them as he was starving, and also giving them some little bites, tasting their deliciousness at every spot. The more his mouth progressed, the faster her hips moved. Stephen's hand touched all her back, up and down, finally stopping where her back starts. He held the lady buttocks to rub them back and forth against his lap. The dancer couldn't take it anymore and showed out a lusty noise, a sign of the big orgasm she was starting to sense. All her body became tense. The dancer couldn't take it anymore and shouted out a lusty noise, sign of the big orgasm she was starting to sense. All her body tense, concentrated on the increasing pleasure boiling out of her. She had reached climax. The more she felt it, the more intense, the more friction from her lady parts onto Stephen's extra hard lap occurred. She was about to be done, but some lost noises were still going out of her, sign of the lower spasms still shaking her lower parts. Eventually, she arched her back, allowing him to kiss her belly button. A few moments after her last pleasure spasm, she took a big breath. Oh, I must go now. But I was sent here to tell you that if you want to continue with what brought you here, you must marry Princess Demir tomorrow and take her away from here. That is why I came here tonight. The rest was only an amusement for me. Stephen was thunderstruck. He couldn't think clearly. He couldn't even move while the night visitor took her clothes and left the room. Eventually, he tried to go after her, but had some sore pain on his lap. Pain for which he knew the cure. Stumbling, he reached out the door, but couldn't see the girl at that dark hall. Back inside, he was certain of the two actions he had to perform.